Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Adjanice Marrero. She's a visionary branding photographer who fuses metaphysics with marketing to help spiritual entrepreneurs embrace their sacred fame. And we'll be talking on her to her about living life on your own terms. So firstly, welcome to the show, Adjanice.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so, so excited about being here.
You are welcome to the show. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the world will benefit from what we are going to discuss. Firstly, you know, I want to understand for the audience is a visionary branding photographer who fuses metaphysics with marketing to help spiritual entrepreneurs embrace their sacred fame. Help us understand the photography part of it, the metaphysics part of it, and also the spiritual entrepreneurs part of it. And then we'll come and understand from you how one can pursue a better life.
Absolutely. So I am an artist. So I started doing photography when I was a kid, when I was 12 years old. So it never felt like it was a passion for money. It just felt like something that I did, kind of like anyone who is just born with, you know, music. I have a brother that was born and he could play music since he was born. Like maybe he couldn't do many other things, but he could do music. So when you're born with something, it kind of doesn't feel special to you. It feels quite regular. And so I was a photographer in the house, but I never saw photography as my dream career. I always thought that I was just an artist and that's what I got to do for my family. And after going into the military and being unhappy in the military, because who wants to be told what to do all the time? And having a family and going through a divorce by the time that I was in my mid-20s, I realized that sometimes the pursuit of success, which in America, we all know that just means let's get some money, right? It doesn't mean be a better person. It doesn't mean be kind. And so it's ingrained. It's ingrained to go and pursue money. It's ingrained to go and people encourage you to do that. They never encourage you to do the thing you like to do. They encourage you to do the thing that is going to be maybe the most profitable or the most secure. So after I got divorced, I decided, I was like, well, I have to do something. The little jobs and careers that I had done, and now I had a daughter, were not going to be enough. And I just wasn't happy. So suddenly, by magic, I think, I have an email from a recruiting college. And I applied, got accepted. And I took my daughter, like $1,000, and moved across from New York to Florida to try to make it happen. And I think that that's the reason I achieved success in a short amount of time. Within 2 years, I was one of the best photographers in the entire Southeast region of the United States. I had been hired to be the head photographer of a major company. And I really, when I look back, it was because I left all the things that seemed secure and went for photography because I enjoyed it. I didn't know it at the time, but it was no coincidence that when you pursue things that actually make you happy inside, they make you feel fulfilled. They do make you money in the end, but you're not doing it for the money. So the intention is really pure and you get to have a really beautiful experience because you're living from this place of fulfillment. But what happens is you have a child and things happen and things change. And I find myself without a job. And also as a photographer, that is a career where you need to live in a very specific city. I was a fashion photographer, commercial photographer. So you couldn't just do that and pick up and go to a small town and start shooting babies. And God knows that I wouldn't have been any good at that. And so then you go back to the regular job, the stability. And so I put photography aside. But this time I started to really understand a little bit more about spirituality. And so I was working jobs that I didn't want to do, but I was really passionate about reliving and reawakening the life that I really wanted. My daughter was older. Now I had another kid. I had another failed relationship and I had to get back on track, but I couldn't get back to photography without spirituality. So when I started to do personal development, really getting into metaphysics, especially because I did so much marketing with the photography, I actually understood that in order for you to market yourself as a mystic, as a person that makes a living from their intuitive gifts or the spiritual gifts, you have to see that if you don't have integrity as a person, your business is not going to work. So in order for my photography business to even start to work out in the way that I wanted to, even though I love photography, I had to do it from this place of integrity, which was a result of me trying to improve my life and not make the same mistakes again. So to make a long story short, at some point in this, in coaching and mentoring, I wanted to go back to photography. I felt the calling and I said, these people need me. They don't know how to brand. They don't know how to market. They need me, especially people that I consider are the healers of the world. They need their voices amplified. They need to be seen and heard because they're doing it. Yes, there's going to be money because we get to be sustained, but we want a better world. And what's beautiful is that in creativity and in art, it's very metaphysical in nature because it's all about your real identity, which is all about metaphysics. It's about who you really are and where you really come from. And when I started to combine those things, I was able to serve the people I liked and that needed me at the same time. Not a Coca-Cola doesn't need me, right? But a spiritual mentor who is unknown, unseen, and has really good, powerful work, she needs me. So it was just the perfect combination for me to combine those two.
Absolutely. Well explained.
Thank you.
Janice, well explained. And, you know, I'm sure this takes a lot of courage. And when we talk about living life on your own terms and always in pursuit of a better life, how did you manage to do it in terms of, let me ask you this way, in terms of creativity? A creative person is a creative person. How, when you want to be creative, sometimes a lot of creative people have to, you know, either they have to choose creativity or they have to choose an independent life. There is no. Second part is, you know, as a single mom, there are a lot of challenges. There also, you know, even in just one case, people have to, you know, need a lot of heart and a lot of energy and understanding of the life to take a bold decision. And many a times, you know, in all these cases, it all becomes about survival and less about in pursuit of a better life. So how did you manage to, you know, put all these things together and still took that courage, had that courage to move in pursuit of a better life, to live life on your own terms? What is this living life on own terms is all about? Is it about being whimsical or is it about living on your own terms but with a purpose?
I think that it really boils down to courage, because when I look back on my life, I wonder how I did those things. How was I so brave? I don't think I had time to troubleshoot it in the way that sometimes personal development in the modern sense wants you to figure it out and imagine. And it could be very whimsical in the explanation. But the reality for me was, I am not happy. I cannot raise a daughter in unhappiness because she would learn to be unhappy. And I remember people telling me, like, you drove across the country with no money. I didn't even have a cell phone. No money, no cell phone. And when I got to the college that I applied for, they had canceled my application because I didn't have a phone. This is a little bit before cell phones were super popular, you know, because I'm 45 years old. So this is a little bit of time ago, even though I know I look good. This is my Puerto Rican heritage. But yeah, I think that it was, I was kind of fed up. It was an anger. It was a rebellion per se. I was raised in a Christian home and I was not really fully understanding how that was working. It's like, how many times do I need to pray for help and not get it? That wasn't working. So I also was searching for spirituality on my terms. And it wasn't until I actually started to do spirituality on my terms, it was that I understood how my creativity was actually and did a big part of what made it possible. Because I was so focused on my vision to be a photographer, I was so focused on a better life and doing something I really liked that I didn't actually have time to worry about how it was going to happen. It didn't occur to me. The moment that I had that idea, I was like, I need to go to school. And I'm just going to be really transparent. In America, I'm a woman of color. There's many arts that you can be self-taught. You can sing, you can do. But I knew that in this country, I needed to have a proof that I was, you know, certified or whatever, stamped, approved, because I would not be able to walk into a company like Target or Dillard's, which are two companies I work for, and say, hey, look at what a great photo I can do. So I knew that I had to start somewhere. And for me, that came with getting educated. And I was just courageous. I just kind of saw my life. And I was like, if you look at your life in two pictures, I saw a picture of photography potentially being something really fun that I liked. I wasn't thinking about it being spiritual. And when I looked at what I was, where I was, and I looked at that picture, and continuing that way was like a complete nightmare. My relationships were in shambles. I was going from job to job. They didn't pay enough. I wasn't happy. And I was a single mom. And let me just give my ex-husband some credit here, because I think sometimes when we try to make ourselves so courageous, we forget to talk about the people that helped us. My ex-husband had always paid child support, always took care of his daughter in the best way he could. He was in the military, so he was often gone. And maybe that's one of the reasons why our relationship failed, because it's hard to work on a relationship when people are apart. But he paid for child support. And I will tell you the amount. It was $500 a month. My rent was $500 a month. So I was barely making it, but I had enough because I had a tiny little bit of support. I'm sure that he didn't think that that money was for me to get my life together. But for me, it was, I'm so grateful that he was that father that always take care of his child in the best way that he could, because that gave us the ability to have a shot, you know. And what was the other question? Creativity for me is the beginning of life. You cannot even begin to write a book without imagining that world first, and then you go into it. And I think that's manifestation and spirituality. In the Bible, we talk about how Christ and Christ consciousness, everything, all things could be done through Christ. Well, I have found in my research that you can do all things through imagination as well. There's many people who are not Christian and who have accomplished amazing things because they put their power of their mind to work through creativity. And so for me, it's harder to understand what was that got me there. But I know that my vision was clear, that I wanted a different life. And I just focused on being a photographer. I was like, I'm a photographer. I'm doing it. And I had incredible opportunities in such a short amount of time. And I had no metaphysics at that point. But in looking back, it's all about what we are able to hold within our minds.
Right, Janice. And now finally, you are a top photographer, two agents, and a dream job. You know, so let me ask you this. You talked about courage. In a situation like that, is courage enough? I want to understand for a lot of people from your journey is that what should other things that they should look at when they are going out to fight for a better life, a support system? How did you plan to face those adversities? You don't need some tools at least to make your journey towards success, or first maybe for survival, and maybe later on you plan your success. You know, you live for another day so that you can continue your journey. Absolutely. What were your learnings that you would want to share with people, especially, you know, when we talk of women, they may be feeling sometimes, you know, there are adverse situations, and sometimes you may be tending to compromise.
I mean, being a woman, again, I can only speak on my experience here in America, a woman of color. I actually was fired when I became pregnant. So we can have this appearance of you know, a country that's very advanced, but we're still facing a lot of injustices. Sometimes they go unheard of. For example, I had to sign a contract that I'm not allowed to talk about it. I do talk about it. I just don't say the companies that were involved because, you know, I had to sign a legal document about it. And so I think that I would like to give someone, I put myself in the idea, if I was in prison and I had nothing and no one, I would like to give someone the tool and a tool that children can use and adults and everyone in between. And we've already talked about it, and it is creativity. I believe that you can be in a jail cell without any hope and just every day focus on your freedom. And somehow, some way, you may get an idea, you may get an inspiration. All these things have happened to me in ways that I couldn't explain. I don't explain how that email got into. I'm getting emotional. give me a minute. It feels a little magical. It feels a little magical, but I like to put it in a situation where a child can do it, because we have many children around the world that are abused and don't have anything. And if I can go up to a little child, I would just say, dream every day and just hold that vision. I don't know how it happens. There's a lot of scientific evidence that proves mental rehearsal, visualization are extraordinary tools, because even if they don't magically make your life better, they make you feel better. And at first, that's all you can do. All you can do is try to feel better. Your life is a mess. You're a teenager. You're in your 20s, have multiple children, failed relationships. The very first step, I would say, is dream. Get into a habit of dreaming about a new life. And I think that that is the best tool, because if I tell someone, use this thing, a person in jail without resources couldn't use it. So I was like, what is the one? Of course, I talk to the divine and I get inspired. It's like, what is the one thing that if a child can use it, I mean, a three-year-old can use it. You just tell a child, look at these beautiful pictures. Think about beautiful pictures all the time. You know, I tell my children, I have a six-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 23-year-old. I said, you know, I see you. I see you graduating. I see you driving a nice car. I'm not telling you I'm going to buy you a nice car. I'm telling you that I see it. And because I can see it, somehow, some way, I know that it's going to be possible. It could be because I attract more opportunities or more abundance. It could be somebody gave me a car, handed me the keys. I've never thought someone would give me a car. They said, you know, for you. And so that there's no explanation to that. I can't tell people, hey, dream of a new car and somebody's going to hand you the keys. I'm just saying what I experienced. Now, I never dreamt about a car. I dreamt about freedom. So another thing to know about creativity is that it's very symbolic. As a little boy, my little kids, they dream of being Superman. That doesn't mean that they're going to grow up and jump off and fly, but they could become actors. They could become authors. They could save the world by inventing a new cure. So we got to cultivate creativity and dreaming, and we all can do it at any age, even in prison without pen or paper or hope. This thing, at the very least, will help us have more peace of mind. And if it comes from the inside out, then that's how we can achieve world peace, becoming peaceful people ourselves. I hope I answered you.
Of course. You answered them.
I cried a little.
I am also like you. There is not much difference. Even I cry, but maybe not here, but because it is your story, it is not my story. I am just someone who is trying to learn from your story for the audience, and even I fully understand it. I respect the sentiments. I respect your story. And as I said, if I were narrating my story, perhaps I would also be, you know, not getting me away from being emotional. So I fully understand it, respect it.
Thank you.
But you are a very strong person, someone who has achieve. So I want to understand, you talk about dreaming. You tell children, you know, you must dream. Absolutely, I agree with that. But in terms of understanding your strength, about your superpowers, like you knew about photography, that this is what you want to do. What would you like to tell them about knowing about their superpower, knowing about courage, about creativity, and then because dreaming is fine, but it has to be also having some sort of, you know, relation with what you are as a person. And you put all those things together so that, you know, it becomes a holistic development, and that takes you towards the path to progress.
Well, I have two examples, and I often speak about these two people because in utilizing your imagination, your creativity, we have someone like the Buddha who started off wealthy and protected and went on a journey to understand suffering. And one of the most famous parts of his enlightenment was that he was under the tree. I forget the name of the tree, but
Bodhi tree.
Yes, we're all familiar. Yes. And what he was doing there was visualizing and penetrating the illusion. And he reached enlightenment through the power of utilizing his creative mechanism. He visualized, he saw, he used his internal sight, and he could reach enlightenment. And so I thought that's very interesting. And then I thought someone like Marilyn Monroe, who became an iconic, one of the most beautiful women has ever been celebrated, who died so long ago, just like the Buddha, so long ago, and we cannot forget them. Their presence, this is what I call sacred fame. The presence is so powerful that it surpasses their actual physical being here. Now, Marilyn Monroe, the difference is she had the opposite upbringing of the Buddha. She was abused in foster care and even maybe sexually abused. And she would dream to escape her pain. And even in her dream, she realized it. She never thought she wanted to go and be famous. So sometimes I think that this shows a very powerful thing, that whether we have the tools and understanding of how the mechanics works, whether we're trying to reach a higher spiritual sense, a higher realm, or just material things, that this one way, using your mind and your creativity, visualizing your desires, is something that can take you there. But I also understand that it's just not easy to say, hey, just start dreaming. So I have another little side note. I say, do what you like to fund what you love. And I often think that if people were a little bit more in that mindset, because I love this thing, I love it so much and I have to do it. But we don't have to make this thing be the thing that makes you money. So that for me was a way that I could do other jobs. I can work. And I think that if you have no money and have the opportunity to work, you should. I think if you can work, you should. I think that you should be in practicing on giving first, right? We have the law of sowing and reaping first. We have to sow the seed in order for us to have an harvest. I think we think that what I may be saying to people, it's not what they think. I'm not saying to sit down and not do anything. But I'm saying that it makes no sense to do something without understanding where you want to go. Because you are going to get into a job. You are going to get into a career. You are going to get money, but you are not going to get any of the fulfillment. And I want to go back to Marilyn Monroe, who after reaching all the fame, all the I love yous, all the admiration, died unhappy and feeling alone. So while creativity is not the end all be all to a higher consciousness, it is a tool. And it is a tool that has worked, whether you believe, whether you don't, whether you study it scientifically. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks intensely about mental rehearsal. There's many books that talk about the power of visualizing and creativity. And so if you can work until, because you don't know that while you're working, you are meeting people who 10 or 20 years down the road will be impactful. I worked at a company 20 years before as a cashier and then returned as a photographer. 20 years. You just have no idea how things are gonna connect. I didn't want to be a cashier. I didn't want to do that. But you also have to show God, show the universe what you're willing to do. I don't think it's okay for someone to sit down and just be like, gimme, 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 gimme. I think that there's a great deal of honor that comes from doing your part. So do what you can. Even if you don't like it, do what you like, at least get out of doing something you hate. Even if it doesn't pay a lot, at least it gives you a lot of satisfaction. And if you have to keep a bad job in a bad situation, I would say volunteer and give back to people who you may not be thinking about on a daily basis. When I walk down the street and I see homeless people in a park that's close to me, instead of feeling bad about their situation, I can think positively about my situation, because I could have ended up in that situation many times. At least two or three times I could have been homeless myself. So we can use our environment to continue to remind us that to focus on the positive things. And that is the start. The thing is that if we're focused on negative things, no matter what, we're not going to be able to have enough leverage to see what's possible. And so hopefully that will give someone a little bit of a hint. And courage comes from obsessing over your vision. You look at it every day. You think about it every day. You know that this is what you deserve. Inside of you, at one point, you will have so much energy, so much momentum inside that you will do something about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said, you know that it's a lot of wisdom. And like you said, you were a cashier. You handed a lot of money to everyone. And God, you paid you back by giving you living a life of your dream.
That's
you
became so good.
A photographer, you came back to the same company.
That's right. 100%.
Absolutely. So, but there is so much to learn about life. And you know, a lot of people would want to understand your journey more, better, and also be professionally engaged with you. So what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, Arjani?
If you want to connect with me, the best way to find me is on Facebook or my website. So it's facebook.com/AdjanisMorero, or my website is AdjanisMorero.com, AdjanisMorero.com. And in there, you can get to know all my craziness. I'm a metaphysical teacher, and every Sunday I have something I call Unchurch, because dun, dun, dun. That didn't serve me, but I still want to be able to talk about the things of God and the beauty of the divine in a context where it's not restricted by, you know, dogma and politics and things like that. But yeah, Facebook or my website.
Wonderful. Wonderful. On this note, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.